Gratitude is not a positive response to something we have been given. Gratitude arises from paying attention, from being awake in the presence of everything that lives within and without us. Gratitude is not necessarily something that is shown after the event. Gratitude is not necessarily something that is shown after the event. It is the deep a priori state of attention that shows we understand and are equal to the gifted nature of life. Gratitude is the understanding that many millions of things come together and live together and mesh together and breathe together in order for us to take even one more breath of air, that the underlying gift of life and incarnation as a living participant human being is a privilege. That we are miraculously part of something rather than nothing, even if that something is temporarily pain or despair. We inhabit a living world with real faces, real voices, real laughter, the color blue, the green of the fields, the freshness of a cold wind, or the tawny hue of a winter landscape. Those are words from Irish poet David White. So as we continue down the path of generosity, our theme for this month, I offer a value of generosity, which is gratitude for this morning. I seldom preach on gratitude because I don't, and not because I don't feel it or because I think it's bad, but for some reason, telling my stories of gratitude are more personal than my stories of despair. I suspect that goes to my childhood as a goth kid from West Virginia, that we just accepted that the human struggle is something that we will all acknowledge as we're stuck in this spinning blue ball called despair. But the fact is, on a regular basis in my life, I feel deep gratitude towards the people that are around me and towards the places that I've been. In fact, the past Sunday, my story about generosity is rooted in the gratitude I feel for those who walked with me, sat with me, cried with me in my despair and even in my trauma. The second reason I seldom preach gratitude is the propensity to tie strings with our generosity. To instead of giving with compassion, we give with quid pro quo in expectation of return. Last week, I preached on the reciprocity of generosity. The fact that they are part of the same system, that the giver is equal to the receiver. And when we give with compassion and the expectation of equity, or when we give without compassion in the expectation of equity, we dehumanize those in need. The third reason that I tend to lean away from sermons about gratitude is a misconception based on the idea that people who live simpler lives are happier, which can often sound to some that poor people are happier than wealthier people, that people in poverty ought to be grateful for their poverty because some misquoted study several years ago said something about how poor people are happier or report more meaningful lives. We can forget that gratitude, in spite of struggle, is different than gratitude because of struggle. And finally, the last reason I avoid sermons on gratitude is because it becomes easy to moralize people who are in need. Gratitude becomes competitive, like saying that, yes, you might have it hard, but that is nothing compared to those people, whomever those people happen to be at the time. Or because we might hear something like, some people have it worse, you should be grateful, you could have it off like them, which is a very frustrating thing to hear when you're going through struggle. See, without self-awareness, gratitude can become a weapon forged to convince others to stop asking for what they need, whether it's emotional, physical, or financial. Instead of appreciating their vulnerability, we say, you should be grateful for what you already have been given, and you are selfish to ask for more. And what I realize is that all these reasons come to one basic principle, that we should not expect or demand gratitude of our kindness, lest it become a chain that binds. My point is, gratitude is not a price paid. It is a way to live. Gratitude, then, has little to do with the gift given. If our generosity is rooted in compassion and a vehicle for love, we should never expect and would never demand gratitude for our generosity. Gratitude, then, is not a price paid. It is a part of the cycle of generous living, part of a gift that we give ourselves. David White, the author of our reading, says this: gratitude is not a passive response to something we have been given. Gratitude arises from paying attention, from being awake in the presence of everything that lives with and without us. Gratitude is not necessarily something that is shown after the event. It is the deep a priori state of attention that shows we understand and are equal to the gifted nature of life. White's point is that gratitude is a choice we make, in a priori state of attention, a state of attention that is in advance of any gift or generous act towards us. He continues saying, gratitude is the understanding that many millions of things come together and live together and mesh together and breathe together in order for us to take even one more breath of air. That the underlying gift of life in the incarnation as a living, participating human being is a privilege, that we are miraculously part of something rather than nothing. Richard Dawkins, in Unweaving the Rainbow, says it this way: we are going to die, and that makes us the lucky ones. Most people are never going to die because they were never going to be born. The potential people who could have been here in my place, but who will in fact never see the light of day, outnumber the sand grains of Arabia. Certainly those unborn ghosts include greater poets than Keats, scientists greater than Newton. We know this because the set of possible people allowed by our DNA is so massive and exceeds the set of actual people. In the teeth of these stupefying odds, it is you and I in our ordinariness that are here. We privileged few who won the lottery of birth against all odds. How dare we whine at our inevitable return to that prior state from which the vast majority have never stirred. See, according to a study from Harvard, the probability, or it's math from Harvard, maybe not a study, but the probability of your dad meeting your mom is about 1 in 20,000. That they stay together long enough to have a child is 1 in 2,000. Which becomes, when put together apparently, and this is not my math, I don't do math, a 1 in 40 million chance of you existing. But see, that number gets bigger. We remember that while mom might have one egg, dad has 4 trillion sperm that just keep swimming. Which brings the stat up to our chances of living is 1 in 400 quadrillion. And then we remember that this doesn't just happen between your parents or my parents, but their parents, and their parents' parents, and their parents' parents' parents, all the way back. By the time everything is done, factoring in the evolution of humanity from a single-celled organism, we have a number that is so big that my human brain finds it incomprehensible. 1 in 10. To the 2,640,000th place. Basically, the odds that you exist are as close to zero as we can get. And Dawkins says the potential people who could have been here in my place, but who will in fact never see the light of day, outnumber the sand grains in Arabia. So David White continues in his meditation on gratitude. We are miraculously part of something rather than nothing. Even if that something is temporary pain or despair, we inhabit a living world with real faces, real voices, real laughter, the color blue, the green of the fields, the freshness of a cold wind, or the tawny hue of the winter landscape. He continues on saying that to see the full miraculous essentiality of the color blue is to be grateful with no necessity for a word of thanks. To see fully the beauty of a daughter's face is to be fully grateful without having to seek a God to thank him. To see fully the beauty of a daughter's face is to be fully grateful without having to seek a God to thank him. So let's stop there for a second, because I want to say it again. To see the beauty of any child's face is to be fully grateful without having to seek a God to thank. See, Dawkins tells us that we should feel gratitude because of the statistics or the numbers or the maths. White tells us that gratitude is an a priori state. Gratitude is not a response. Gratitude is a choice. And White continues saying, to sit among friends and strangers, hearing many voices, strange opinions, to intuit inner lives beneath surface lives, to inhabit many worlds at once in this world, to be someone against all the other someones, and therefore to make a conversation without saying a word, is to deepen our sense of presence, and therefore our nature sense of thankfulness that everything happens both with us and without us, that we are participants and witnesses all at once. But then what is this gratitude that we choose to have? And I'll continue with David White here. He begins his final stanza saying, thankfulness finds its full measure in generosity of presence. Thankfulness finds its full measure in the generosity of presence, both through participation and witness. See, we sit at the table as part of every other person's world while making our own world without will or effort. This is what is extraordinary and gifted. This is the essence of gratefulness, seeing to the heart of privilege. Thanksgiving happens, White is continuing, Thanksgiving happens when our sense of presence meets all the other presences. Thanksgiving happens when our sense of presence meets all the other presences. Being unappreciative might mean we are simply not paying attention. Being unappreciative means we are simply not paying attention. See, in White's reflection, gratitude is not a response to a gift. It's not necessarily saying thank you. Gratitude exists when we are truly together. Gratitude exists when we are connected in our joys in our sorrows. Gratitude exists in our laughter, in our tears, in our hunger, and in our fulfillment. Gratitude is not the passive acceptance of the drippings of others, and it's not a response to a penny given while we beg. Gratitude is, in fact, something we have before any gift could ever be given to us. To put it in the words of last week's sermon, which some of you might not have heard, I will string along a line that says this. Generosity rooted in compassion is a vehicle for love that is watered and fed by our gratitude. And if I shift that to active voice to make it less gooey as a statement, gratitude feeds generosity. Generosity is rooted in compassion and is a vehicle for love. In fact, if I were to preach the sermons in order appropriately, I would have preached on gratitude last week and generosity this week. See, it is gratitude that feeds us and makes us generous. It's our gratitude that gives us the ability to be compassionate. It is our gratitude that when we are struggling, we don't have gratitude because we are struggling, but we can have gratitude in spite of, despite our struggling. Gratitude is the center of our generosity. Knowing that we are here and that means something. Knowing that we are here when there could have been so many other people instead. Knowing that we are the lucky ones, as Dawkins puts it. Gratitude, as White puts it, is a priori. It comes first. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your continued generosity. And thank you for the gratitude that you show every day. Gratitude is not a positive response to something we have been given. Gratitude arises from paying attention, from being awake in the presence of everything that lives within and without us. Gratitude is not necessarily something that is shown after the event. Gratitude is not necessarily something that is shown after the event. It is the deep a priori state of attention that shows we understand and are equal to the gifted nature of life. Gratitude is the understanding that many millions of things come together and live together and mesh together and breathe together in order for us to take even one more breath of air, that the underlying gift of life and incarnation as a living participant, human being, is a privilege. That we are miraculously part of something rather than nothing, even if that something is temporarily pain or despair. We inhabit a living world with real faces, real voices, real laughter, the color blue, the green of the fields, the freshness of a cold wind, or the tawny hue of a winter landscape. Those are words from Irish poet David White. So as we continue down the path of generosity, our theme for this month, I offer a value of generosity, which is gratitude, for this morning. I seldom preach on gratitude because I don't, and not because I don't feel it or because I think it's bad, but for some reason, telling my stories of gratitude are more personal than my stories of despair. I suspect that goes to my childhood as a goth kid from West Virginia, that we just accepted that the human struggle is something that we will all acknowledge as we're stuck in this spinning blue ball called despair. But the fact is, on a regular basis in my life, I feel deep gratitude towards the people that are around me and towards the places that I've been. In fact, the past Sunday, my story about generosity is rooted in the gratitude I feel for those who walked with me, sat with me, cried with me in my despair and even in my trauma. The second reason I seldom preach gratitude is the propensity to tie strings with our generosity. To instead of giving with compassion, we give with quid pro quo in expectation of return. Last week I preached on the reciprocity of generosity. The fact that they are part of the same system, that the giver is equal to the receiver. And when we give with compassion and the expectation of equity, or when we give without compassion in the expectation of equity, we dehumanize those in need. The third reason that I tend to lean away from sermons about gratitude is a misconception based on the idea that people who live simpler lives are happier, which can often sound to some that poor people are happier than wealthier people, that people in poverty ought to be grateful for their poverty because some misquoted study several years ago said something about how poor people are happier or report more meaningful lives. We can forget that gratitude, in spite of struggle, is different than gratitude because of struggle. And finally, the last reason I avoid sermons on gratitude is because it becomes easy to moralize people who are in need. Gratitude becomes competitive, like saying that, yes, you might have it hard, but that is nothing compared to those people, whomever those people happen to be at the time. Or because we might hear something like, some people have it worse, you should be grateful, you could have it off like them, which is a very frustrating thing to hear when you're going through struggle. See, without self-awareness, gratitude can become a weapon forged to convince others to stop asking for what they need, whether it's emotional, physical, or financial. Instead of appreciating their vulnerability, we say, you should be grateful for what you already have been given, and you are selfish to ask for more. And what I realize is that all these reasons come to one basic principle, that we should not expect or demand gratitude of our kindness, lest it become a chain that binds. My point is, gratitude is not a price paid. It is a way to live. Gratitude, then, has little to do with the gift given. If our generosity is rooted in compassion and a vehicle for love, we should never expect and would never demand gratitude for our generosity. Gratitude, then, is not a price paid. It is a part of the cycle of generous living, part of a gift that we give ourselves. David White, the author of our reading, says this: gratitude is not a passive response to something we have been given. Gratitude arises from paying attention, from being awake in the presence of everything that lives with and without us. Gratitude is not necessarily something that is shown after the event. It is the deep a priori state of attention that shows we understand and are equal to the gifted nature of life. White's point is that gratitude is a choice we make, an a priori state of attention, a state of attention that is in advance of any gift or generous act towards us. He continues saying, gratitude is the understanding that many millions of things come together and live together and mesh together and breathe together in order for us to take even one more breath of air. That the underlying gift of life in the incarnation as a living, participating human being is a privilege that we are miraculously part of something rather than nothing. Richard Dawkins in Unweaving the Rainbow says it this way. We are going to die, and that makes us the lucky ones. Most people are never going to die because they were never going to be born. The potential people who could have been here in my place, but who will in fact never see the light of day, outnumber the sand grains of Arabia. Certainly those unborn ghosts include greater poets than Keats, scientists greater than Newton. We know this because the set of possible people allowed by our DNA is so massive and exceeds the set of actual people. In the teeth of these stupefying odds, it is you and I in our ordinariness that are here. We privileged few who won the lottery of birth against all odds. How dare we whine at our inevitable return to that prior state from which the vast majority have never stirred. See, according to a study from Harvard, the probability, or it's math from Harvard, maybe not a study, but the probability of your dad meeting your mom is about 1 in 20,000. That they stay together long enough to have a child is 1 in 2,000. Which becomes, when put together, apparently, and this is not my math, I don't do math, a 1 in 40 million chance of you existing. But see, that number gets bigger. We remember that while mom might have one egg, dad has 4 trillion sperm that just keep swimming. Which brings the stat up to our chances of living is 1 in 400 quadrillion. And then we remember that this doesn't just happen between your parents or my parents, but their parents, and their parents' parents, and their parents' parents' parents, all the way back. By the time everything is done, factoring in the evolution of humanity from a single-celled organism, we have a number that is so big that my human brain finds it incomprehensible. 1 in 10 to the 2,640,000th place. Basically, the odds that you exist are as close to zero as we can get. And Dawkins says the potential people who could have been here in my place, but who will in fact never see the light of day, outnumber the sand grains in Arabia. So David White continues in his meditation on gratitude. We are miraculously part of something rather than nothing. Even if that something is temporary pain or despair, we inhabit a living world with real faces, real voices, real laughter, the color blue, the green of the fields, the freshness of a cold wind, or the tawny hue of the winter landscape. He continues on saying that to see the full miraculous essentiality of the color blue is to be grateful with no necessity for a word of thanks. To see fully the beauty of a daughter's face is to be fully grateful without having to seek a God to thank him. To see fully the beauty of a daughter's face is to be fully grateful without having to seek a God to thank him. So let's stop there for a second, because I want to say it again, to see the beauty of any child's face is to be fully grateful without having to seek a God to thank. See, Dawkins tells us that we should feel gratitude because of the statistics or the numbers or the maths, White tells us that gratitude is an a priori state. Gratitude is not a response. Gratitude is a choice. And White continues saying, to sit among friends and strangers, hearing many voices, strange opinions, to intuit inner lives beneath surface lives, to inhabit many worlds at once in this world, to be someone against all the other someones, and therefore to make a conversation without saying a word, is to deepen our sense of presence, and therefore our nature sense of thankfulness that everything happens both with us and without us, that we are participants and witnesses all at once. But then what is this gratitude that we choose to have? And I'll continue with David White here. He begins his final stanza saying, thankfulness finds its full measure in generosity of presence. Thankfulness finds its full measure in the generosity of presence, both through participation and witness. See, we sit at the table as part of every other person's world while making our own world without will or effort. This is what is extraordinary and gifted. This is the essence of gratefulness, seeing to the heart of privilege. Thanksgiving happens, White is continuing, Thanksgiving happens when our sense of presence meets all the other presences. Thanksgiving happens when our sense of presence meets all the other presences. Being unappreciative might mean we are simply not paying attention. Being unappreciative means we are simply not paying attention. See, in White's reflection, gratitude is not a response to a gift. It's not necessarily saying thank you. Gratitude exists when we are truly together. Gratitude exists when we are connected in our joys, in our sorrows. Gratitude exists in our laughter, in our tears, in our hunger, and in our fulfillment. Gratitude is not the passive acceptance of the drippings of others, and it's not a response to a penny given while we beg. Gratitude is, in fact, something we have before any gift could ever be given to us. To put it in the words of last week's sermon, which some of you might not have heard, I will string along a line that says this. Generosity rooted in compassion is a vehicle for love that is watered and fed by our gratitude. And if I shift that to active voice to make it less gooey as a statement, gratitude feeds generosity. Generosity is rooted in compassion and is a vehicle for love. In fact, if I were to preach the sermons in order appropriately, I would have preached on gratitude last week and generosity this week. See, it is gratitude that feeds us and makes us generous. It's our gratitude that gives us the ability to be compassionate. It is our gratitude that when we are struggling, we don't have gratitude because we are struggling, but we can have gratitude in spite of, despite our struggling. Gratitude is the center of our generosity. Knowing that we are here and that means something. Knowing that we are here when there could have been so many other people instead, knowing that we are the lucky ones, as Dawkins puts it.
Gratitude, as White puts it, is a priori. It comes first. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your continued generosity. And thank you for the gratitude that you show every day.